Off our summer series, a little early, but it's called Worship and Wisdom. And what we're going to do the next few months is we're going to go back and forth between the book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs. And we're going to look at a few Psalms along the way, and because we want to learn what it looks like, what it means to live a life of worship. Because worship is far more than just the songs that we sing on Sunday morning. Worship is really the way that we live our lives. And then we're going to look at some Proverbs like this morning, and because we want to gain wisdom in life, because we need wisdom to make wise decisions, because we live in a society now that and that require us to make a bunch of decisions. Now, fortunately, most of those choices or decisions that you and I are asked to make every single day are pretty easy to make, okay? But every now and then, there comes a choice that we have to make that is so big that the outcome has the potential not only to impact our lives, but impact the lives of the people that we love the most and depend on us the most. And so we need wisdom more than ever. Now wisdom is the ability to make wise choices. And again, most of the choices we make, they're not really between right or wrong. We know the difference between right or wrong. Thank you, Mom, for teaching us the difference between right or wrong. But most of the decisions that you and I are going to, or some of the decisions that you and I need to make is not between right or wrong, but what's the wise thing to do? What's the wise decision to make? And so the number one thing that the book of Proverbs talks about is wisdom, and followed by a close second, the words that you and I say. So this morning, in honor of Mother's Day, in honor of all those moms who carry around a bar of soap or carry around some sassy sauce just in case our words aren't kind, okay, we're going to talk about our words, because the book of Proverbs says that our speech, our words that we say can make or break our lives. And not only our lives, but also the lives of others. So three things we're going to see this morning as we look at several different Proverbs. We're going to see the power of our words. We're going to see the character of our words. And we're going to see the healing of our words. So the power, the character, and the healing of our words. And if you brought your Bibles this morning, turn to your table of contents and find the Old Testament book of Proverbs. It's right after the Psalms, okay? And so it's kind of in the middle of your Bible. But we're going to be in several different Proverbs this morning. We have some notebooks for this series that are kind of in the seat backs. If you didn't get one last week, there's also some over here at the table, and we have some at the back. Feel free to get up. I can't see past the third row anyway. You're not going to bother me. But if you want to grab one of those notebooks, they're back there and they're over here, or they're in the about three seat backs in front of you per row. So, but we have plenty. So if you want to grab one, don't be embarrassed. Get up and get one, and or grab one in that. And so this morning we're going to look at several different Proverbs, and so it may just be as easy to write them down as it is to flip back and forth to them. Okay. So, but we're going to begin our journey by talking about the power of our words, and we're going to be in Proverbs. We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 12 this morning as we talk about the power of our words. So Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18 says this, says, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." And so what the writer is saying here is that our words can cause damage to other people's lives, that our words can cause the kind of damage that cannot be remedied, that when we utter a word, there are some words that we cannot take back because the damage has already been done. I mean, just look at the illustration that the writer uses. He's talking about a sword, okay? And so, you know, I wanted to bring a sword and use this illustration, but, you know, the staff said, hey, let's not ram a sword through somebody today. So we just have to use our imagination. But if you take a sword and you run a sword through somebody, okay, you may be able to pull that sword out, but you cannot undo that wound. And then in the words of the great, you know, comedy troupe, Monty Python, you know, it may very well just be a flesh wound. But that wound, that scar is there forever. And so what the writer is talking about when it comes to our words, he's talking about our slashing, our rash, our reckless words that can never be taken away. So our words, they have the power to wound others. Now, you don't need a preacher to tell you that, because every single one of us have experienced the wound of somebody else's words. Now, our words also have the power to destroy. So look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So not only do our words have the power to wound, but our words have the power to destroy. Our words have the power to kill. Now, in the Hebrew language, the word life there, it has three different aspects, okay? That it's implying here the physical life, the psychological life, and also the social life. So when we read the word life in the Hebrew, that's what it's talking about there. And so what the writer is talking about is physically that words that have been spoken, they've caused wars, okay? They've caused wars between countries, they've caused wars between neighbors, they've caused wars within family relationships or within friendships, the words that we speak are the cause of fights that break out globally, but also fights that break out in the classroom or the hallway, or the words that we speak they can lead to physical altercations or even murder. So our words have the power to destroy physically, but they also have the power to destroy psychologically. And we all know the saying of sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. You know what that is? That's a mom lie. That's just something moms tell their little kids to kind of get them past the sting and the hurt and the pain of the moment, because every single one of us know the sting, the pain that's caused by harmful and hurtful words that are spoken to us. And so they can harm us. The words can destroy us psychologically, but words also have the power to destroy us socially. Proverbs 16:28 says, a perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. What makes a lie so destructive is it immediately destroys what you and I need the most, and that's relationships. That as soon as you and I speak a lie between us and a friend, or us and a family member, or us and between our husband and wife, or what, or our kids to parents, as soon as we speak that lie, a barrier immediately goes up, and we go into this mode of we can't let this other person find out the truth. And so words, they have the power to not only to wound, but they have the power to destroy and kill as well. But our words also have the power of life. Look back at chapter 18, verse 21. It says the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So affirming words, encouraging words, kind words are like food for our souls. It's like food for our hearts. They strengthen us and they encourage us. And probably the worst thing that you and I can do to someone is give them the silent treatment. And our oldest son, Major, he's 22 now, but back when he was in junior high, we went to, it was one of our first camps up to Colorado, to Silver Cliff. And by the way, I mean, we leave for camp in 2 weeks, and we are so excited. But he's in junior high, and he's got a close group of friends that go with him, and they're all in a cabin together. And so I'm kind of making cabin checks, and I walk up, and I can hear this arguing from outside their cabin, and they're in there playing cards or dominoes or whatever they were playing, and Major is just going at it with his friend. And Major's not a yeller. He's not a conflict person, but he is going after this kid. And he says, that's it, Ethan. That's it. I'm giving you the silent treatment. And Ethan, fires back, Major, I would welcome the silent treatment. And so they all went to bed immediately after that. And But here's the deal. One of the worst things we could do is give somebody the silent treatment. Because if it doesn't matter if you're giving the silent treatment or getting the silent treatment, both are awful because we desperately need life-giving words in our lives. And so our words are so, so powerful. Second point that we need to make this morning about our words is our words, is the character of our words. So three characteristics of our words this morning. Number one is that our words need to be honest. Proverbs 12:17 says, an honest witness tells the truth, but a false witness tells lies. I mean, when you and I deceive somebody with our words, we are denying them the right and the opportunity to deal with reality. When we lie to somebody, we're really good at telling the truth, but we know that even in the midst of telling the truth, we've done it in a way that is deceptive. It may be true, but we also know it was deceptive. And we're denying people the right to be able to deal in with reality. So our words need to be honest. Our words also need to be gentle. Proverbs 15, verse 1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I mean, this is so relevant. This is so practical. It could be used at home. It could be used in the office. It can be used anywhere. That our language, the motivation behind our language, the motivation behind our words does not need to be to put that person in their place. Well, I'm just going to tell my boss, you know, where he can shove it, you know, kind of deal. Or, the motivation of our words does not need to prove that they're wrong. You know, I told them they should have done it this way. I told them, you know, I told you so, you know, kind of deal. And the motivation of our words does not need to belittle them. But the motivation behind our words that we speak to others should be based in love, and our tone should be gentle. Now, every single one of us knows the anxiety that comes with when we have to share a hard truth with somebody, right? It could be at work, it could be at home, it could be with a friend, that we all know that, oh, I really don't want to say that, but I know I need to because I love this person and I want what's best for them. But when we have those hard truth conversations, it should be just as painful for us to say as it possibly could for them to hear. Let me say that again. When we have something hard to say, and our motivation in saying this should be love, and we want what's best for this person. We want what's best for our son or daughter. We want what's best for the people who work with us and work for us. And when we sit down to have a hard conversation, our words need to be motivated by love, and it should be just as painful for us to say as it is potentially for them to hear it. But nothing is more persuasive than gentleness. Nothing is more persuasive than gentleness. And the third characteristic of our words needs that our words need to be careful. And Proverbs chapter 10, verse 32 says, the lips of the righteous know what finds favor, but the mouth of the wicked only what is perverse. Man, it is our job as the communicator of our words to adapt it and to adapt our words in such a way that the listener can hear and receive. That's the role of a communicator, not to just to say what you want to say, but to say it in a way that it could be understood, and to say it in a way that it could be received. And our words, they may be true, but they need to be spoken the right way at the right time. And so our words that we say to whoever, not one word needs to be careless. Not one word needs to be insignificant, but our words need to be careful. They need to be gentle, and they need to be honest. That our words need to be now. So we've looked at the power of our words. We looked at the characteristics of the words, and here's what really makes all the difference this morning is we need to talk about the healing of our words. Because this is where the gospel comes into play when it comes to our words. That our words, we've seen that they can bring life or death. And it's probably safe to say that most of us, if not all of us, in some form or fashion, have been hurt because of somebody's words that have been spoken to us or spoken over us. In fact, let's just kind of step into the arena of vulnerability, if we will. And just a show of hands, has anybody ever been hurt by someone's words that they said to you or over you? Just kind of raise your hand. Yeah, me. My hands. Deep words that wound deeply, that I've carried scars, and that only Jesus could heal those words that have been spoken to me and about me and over me. And so our words, they carry that much power. And so we need to be healed. So how are we going to be healed of our words and those words spoken over us? Proverbs 16:23 says, "The hearts of the wise make their mouths prudent, and their lips promote instruction." Now, Jesus picks up on this, okay? Jesus takes this proverb in Matthew chapter 12, and he's talking to these Pharisees. And a Pharisee was, they were the religious do-it-alls of the day. And they would look down on everybody else, and they thought, you know, God loved them more because, you know, they did better than anybody else. They were better than anybody else, and they lived out the scriptures better than anybody else. And they kind of took it upon their responsibility and their role to kind of point out of others what they were doing wrong and to make them feel better about themselves. And so Jesus is talking to these Pharisees in Matthew chapter 12, and Jesus says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. So basically, if there's an apple on a tree, what kind of tree can we assume that tree is? It's an apple tree. If an orange is on a tree, what kind of tree can we assume that tree is? It's an orange tree, okay? And he says, you brood of vipers. That's what he calls these church people, these religious people. You brood of vipers. How can you who are evil say anything good? So he's not talking about their behavior. Their behavior was good. But he's talking about their hearts. He says, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Now, here's the deal. It would be real easy for us to go home with a list of two or three things to do. Here's two or three things that I can do to make my words more honest or more gentle or more careful. Or I'm really going to go home and I'm going to say three positive things for every negative thing that I say. Or I'm going to go home and I'm going to use so much willpower to only speak things that are positive. But let me tell you, willpower is not enough, and you know that. So how are our words going to be healed? How are we going to be healed from the words that are spoken over us? Well, Jesus says, ultimately, what can heal our words is to have our hearts healed. That what can heal our words or the words spoken to us is to change and heal our hearts. Because, listen, our hearts are the control system of our entire lives. It's our hearts that where we love. It's our hearts where we make decisions. It's our hearts where we trust, where we hope, where we make commitments. And Jesus says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. But the problem is, my heart has been wounded because of the words that other people have said to me or over me, or even the words that I've said to myself over my failures and my mistakes and all the times that I've blown it. And I've said 100 times, God, this is the last time, knowing good and well it's not the last time. And I'm such an idiot. I'm such a failure. I'm the worst Christian ever. And we just wound our hearts over the words that we say to ourselves or allow the enemy to say to us or allow others to speak over us. So how in the world are our hearts going to be healed? He says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. So our hearts have to be healed. Jesus never spoke one false word, not one harsh word, not one untimely word, not one unintentional word. In fact, in John chapter 7, Roman guards said about him, no one ever spoke the way this man does. Jesus is the only word that can bring healing of our hearts, because Jesus is the Word of God. In John chapter 1, says the Word was with God and the Word was God. So Jesus is the Word of God. It says in Hebrews that Jesus is the final Word of God. And Jesus is the only Word that can bring healing to our hearts. Jesus is the only Word that can satisfy this cosmic hunger that's in every one of our souls. Jesus is the only one who can do that for us. And here's why. Because when Jesus was on the cross, he got the ultimate silent treatment from God. When he's on the cross, Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Never caught this, but it's the only time that Jesus refers to God as God and not Father. Every other time in Scripture, when Jesus talks about God, he refers to him as Father, because Jesus' number one mission was to reveal God to the world, and he wanted to reveal God to the world as a perfect, loving, heavenly Father. And so the only time in Scripture that he doesn't call him Father is on the cross, and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? In other words, why are you not speaking to me? Why are you giving me the silent treatment? It's a complete breakdown of communication between a father and the son. But see, here's the deal. Jesus came, and he lived the life we can't live, and he died the death that we deserve. And on the cross, Jesus got what we deserved because of our sin. On the cross, Jesus got the cosmic silent treatment for us. And because Jesus received the ultimate silent treatment, you and I can receive the words that our hearts need and long for more than anything. And the words are from our Father that says, you are my beloved child. With you, I am well pleased. That's the statement that can heal our hearts. That's the statement that can heal the wounds of the words that other people have said. You are my beloved child. Now, I know we don't really get a whole lot of beloved in our life. We get it at weddings and we get it at funerals. But beloved, it means that you and I are deeply, richly, fully, completely, unconditionally loved by God. There's nothing we can do to make him love us more, and there's nothing we can do to make him love us less. We are his beloved children, and our hearts need to receive that. They need to hear that this morning. You are his beloved child, and with you, he is well pleased. And you say, well, I didn't do anything. Jesus did. Remember, he lived the life we should live and died the death that we deserve. And when we put our faith in Jesus, we are justified. And that's just a theological word that says that that when we put our faith in Jesus, Jesus gets the curse of our disobedience and we get the blessing of his obedience, and he makes us just as if we had never sinned in the first place. So when the Father looks at us, we're in Christ, he sees his son Christ, and when he sees everything that Jesus did, and that's counted to our record, that's counted to our lives. And so he can say, based on our faith, not based on our past, not based on our potential, not based on our good behavior, he says to us, based on our faith in his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sin, who took on the cosmic silent treatment for us, you are my beloved child. With you, I'm well pleased. You don't have to do the dance to get the hug. You don't have to perform for me to love you anymore. I cannot love you any more than I already do. And I just want you to know that and rest in that and let that heal your heart. Because out of the overflow of that heart of ours, that wounded heart, the mouth will speak. Or that healed heart, that transformed heart, that heart that is bursting with the love of God, out of the overflow of that heart, our mouths will speak words of life that are honest and careful and gentle and breathe life into those around us. Let's pray together.